Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dave Wannstedt hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Le'Veon Bell running all the way. Oh, what fun it is to run when LeGarrette Blount's away. Hey.
Mully and Haw.
You guys pulled it on a little bit late this year. You usually start playing that damn thing Thanksgiving, you know?
Well, you made a whole album.
That's great.
It's not I did. Fault. I got a copy of it, yes.
That's right. Awesome. That's so great, Dave. So, listen, it is that time of year. I mean, we're getting toward a Christmas season. We know the offensive lineman's putting the tree up. Heard from John DeFilippo yesterday, and he talked about just the profession and about bouncing around and what you go through. And I mean, anybody has empathy or sympathy when you hear someone talk about it. And it's the first time, really, that anyone with the Bears has acknowledged that this could be a shortened type of season for the Bears. It could be shortened careers here. They could be moving on to the next job. And everyone has tried to deny all that stuff. And I would feel more sympathetic if it wasn't for the fact that I believe DeFilippo wasn't part of the original coaching staff, that he was brought in along with some other guys when they changed coaches. You do that all the time. There are people that are run in and run out, and that's just the nature of the profession. But it's got to stink. And we talked about what you went through with your daughters with all that stuff. But isn't that the worst part of the whole deal, Dave, when you have to leave somewhere and you all of a sudden you're not walking into the building and your key isn't going to – you got to turn it in?
Yeah, and I don't like – I mean, this whole thing of early given opportunity to go interview coaches thing, I'm totally against that, just for this reason that – you know, I think it's I don't know if it's fair to the fans, you know, and all the sponsors and everybody to pay all this money. And I mean, my last game with the Bears, I mean, we were playing at home and we were playing the Packers, and it was Reggie White and Brett Favre and on company Super Bowl. They were going to Super Bowl, and I think it was 23-17 or something. And we're driving the last series trying to get the damn ball back and saying, if we can score, we can maybe win this game. You know what I mean? So right. my point was that it was the last game at home. And yeah, I mean, it was not pretty in the stands and everything that goes along with that. But the point was that the players were out there and we were given everything that we had to try to beat that football team, you know, for ourselves and for the organization and for the fans. And it didn't work, you know. So my point is, so now everybody, you start the rumors and they let guys go early and players. I mean, it's not good for anybody, I don't think.
Well, what you're saying is the rules allow now teams to interview coaches for vacancies 2 weeks before the season is over.
Yep.
So it almost encourages teams, if you're going to make a move, make it now, make it faster, make your minds up and move on. So conceivably, when the Bears play the Giants on January 2nd, both teams could have interim head coaches if both teams take advantage of the new rule. And what you're saying is a valid point. That game suddenly loses more significance or meaning to the fans, because how important does it become if you have two interim?
It's not. You're right. Yeah. It's not. And you know, that's true. I mean, it's 100% right. And the way that, knowing that the McCaskey family, you know, they're going to do everything by the rules, but in the same token, the team that doesn't let their coach go, is he going to be criticized publicly and through the media because, hey, team A, B, and C, they knew that they were going to fire their coach and they let their guy go and they started talking to candidates. Well, the Bears, because of the way you've always done it, you waited till the last week, and so now you're 2 weeks late. I mean, you know, you'll hear the other side of that thing too, which I think is a shame. It's a darn shame, and I don't know where the Bears sit with this or what direction they're going to go, if they're going to make a change or not make a change. It's just I'm talking the role in general.
This segment with Coach Wannstedt is brought to you by Advent. Advent knows when you breathe well, you live better. Go to adventknows.com to schedule your appointment today. And you know, the one thing about the NFL is it's obviously not for long, right? So you don't see people trying to lose on purpose like you do in baseball. You don't see this idea that the competition doesn't matter at the end of the year, even if a team is out of it. And we just talked about the incentive players have. Aren't you de-incentivizing them if you are going to fire a coach or if you're going to tell them that there's going to be someone new here and hey, guys are walking in the building? I just don't know how that encourages you to keep the product good to the end.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, you're 100%. And it starts. It doesn't start the day that they do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I lived it. I mean, it starts 2-3 weeks before that as a head coach and as players and as an organization, it's so hard to try to keep everybody together and everybody motivated so you go out there and give your best effort.
Right.
And try to win the damn game.
Right.
You know, so now all of a sudden it's moved up to week 16. So that just pushes everything else forward, too. It's tough.
And I think the Bears, as we have talked about, their issues go deeper than just the head coach. I think they have a front office issue they need to address. And if they have all of these issues, you wonder, where will they get direction? Dave, 6 years ago in 2015 when they went out and they after they fired Phil Emery and after they fired Mark Trestman on the same day following the 2014 season, they enlisted the help of Ernie Accorsi. He was on the NFL's career advisory committee, I believe. That's been disbanded, from what I understand. There's no NFL panel. There's no league help now where if the Bears need a little direction, they can say, hey, who at the league level can tell us who to interview or who the good executives are? Where do they get that kind of guidance? Where do they seek that kind of advice?
Yeah, well, you got to hire the right person to head it up. And obviously there's search firms out there that go out and talk to some of the successful people that, you know, that are on clubs that are being successful. There's a lot of different ways to go. Do you want to get someone that's associated with the Bears? Do you want to get someone that's associated with a winning organization? Do you want to get a young guy? Do you want to get a guy that's done it before? You know, so that's the first thing in my mind that we got to, okay, if we're going to do something, you got to sit down and really focus in, this is what we want to do, and then just go about it. It happens, trust me. And when something like that happens, you get more opportunities to talk to people than what you might think. You just got to make the right decision.
You know, we talked last week about some of the Bears players on offense and some of the guys.
Hey, what's happened to Allen Robinson?
He's got a hamstring. That's what it is.
Someone asked me that the other day, and I said, God, I mean, he was my favorite Bear like 2 years
ago.
Hasn't
played since the Steelers game, I think.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
He's been out
for a while with a hamstring, and so is Akeem Hicks. He's been out since that game as well.
I think they're done for the year. Allen Robinson.
Really?
Allen Robinson, you think he's going to come back and take a chance of getting hurt?
No. What's the value? We just talked about how significant these final five games are.
You think he's going to put more value on his resume by playing these last five games as compared to what he has on tape from last year and the year before that? No way. He's going to say, you know what, this hamstring bothered me, but I'm 100% now. I'll come in and work out for you. Here's my tape.
So how does that conversation go, Dave? As an executive, as a coach, you've got a player who can certainly help your passing game that doesn't really exist without him. So if he's coming back, I mean, come on. You're
$18 point something million?
He makes $1 million a week?
Well, no, he's not healthy.
It's he makes $1 million a week, Dave.
His hamstrings bothering him.
No, it's five more weeks.
Wow.
I mean, one heck of a hamstring pull.
It might be one heck of a hamstring pull.
That's a business decision.
That's a business decision. That's
Dave.
A hamstring pull. That's a bad hamstring.
What would you do if?
And he's the greatest kid in the world. I love the guy.
He's great.
So he's got a hamstring.
So you don't think he? Do you think he? You really don't think he's coming back?
I don't know.
If he is the greatest guy in the world, and he is as professional as everybody in Chicago always says when they talk about Allen Robinson, he's not sitting out the final
five.
Wait
a minute. How many games did he play? And how many catches does he have?
He doesn't have any.
Well, thank
catches.
You. Yeah. So we just said he's the greatest receiver they've ever had. Tell me, what's his numbers? Pull it up.
I am parroting what people are telling me because we've heard this all along, and then all of a sudden something will pop up on Twitter from Allen Robinson's agent. It's like, you know, he's a great guy. But his agent, boy, does he talk a lot. I mean, really.
What I wanted to ask you about, and David will look that up and we'll get back to that. But what I wanted to ask you is, you know, Cole Kmet, I thought, was going to be a bigger piece of it.
Yeah.
And he had a rough game on Sunday. Obviously, that the fumble slash interception, whatever you want to call that, and there were some other plays. When you look at tight ends in particular – does it take longer? Am I going to be okay if I just say I'll wait in terms of my judgment because by the third year he'll finally have it together? Or do I feel like, hey, why isn't he playing better?
No, I mean, that's a fair question. You know, we would like more out of Cole Kmet. There's no question. But all the intangibles are there. I would not. He would be. That wouldn't even be a conversation to him. Just keep playing him, keep getting him the ball. He's got the ability. He's got, you know, he's got the pedigree. I mean, he's a winner. He checks all the boxes.
But does it take longer for tight ends?
No.
I mean, he's not blocking particularly well, and he's not really making plays in the passing
game. It shouldn't be. Heck no.
Okay.
Heck no. I mean,
he should be playing better. I'm right.
Well, I would like to think so.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
I would like
he
to think
be.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Just making sure.
All right. So Allen Robinson has 30 catches for 339 yards in that one touchdown he scored. And he has not played since November 8th. That's almost a month ago. If you're right and he sits out the remainder of this season, that's a two-month hamstring injury. 2 months, Dave, for a guy making $1 million a week.
You give him 6 weeks, right?
Every injury is different. I'm not the doctor.
Is there a rehab issue, David? Could he have strained it while coming? It's conceivable.
I don't know. I'm just telling you that. So he had one touchdown in 2 months.
Yeah.
September, October. He played 2 months.
How many catches?
30.
30 catches and one touchdown.
50 targets in 9 games. He's played 9 games. And if he doesn't play another game, he's going to be paid $2 million per game this year. Basically for 9 games. Look, if he's injured, he's injured. I get it. But I just think that's a long time based on our own experiences around hamstring injuries. If you're going to miss 8 games with a hamstring.
That's now you're into Adam Eaton territory.
Yeah. No, I think the kid's.
Adam Engel.
I think he's hurt. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm saying that I would just say the guy is such a solid guy that. You know, but you don't lose sight. You can't stick your head in the sand and understand that he didn't get the long-term contract and he's going to be a free agent next year. And you better be 100% when you're going out there and playing. You know, that's for sure. Then you're not getting the ball.
It.
And he's, you know, he's not excited about having one touchdown all year. I promise you that.
No.
Not when you've been the guy. Not when you've been the go-to guy.
I mean, you're defending him not playing now as opposed to this idea that you did. I mean, whether or not it's fair, whether or not he wanted the long-term deal, they did franchise him and gave him that amount of money. It is incumbent upon him, in my opinion, to attempt to earn it.
Yes.
And not to.
And I think he will when he's healthy. He's got a hamstring.
Okay. You should be his agent.
Can I ask you a pit question? Pit. Pickett.
Who do you? Oh, I thought you wanted to trade for Aaron Donald or something.
Oh, okay. No, I love that story, though, Dave. Did you see his fake slide?
I did see that.
Tell me how that's wrong. Tell me why they want to change the rule because that to have guys fake slide. That was a great move.
Because the rule.
58-yard touchdown run on that.
The rule in college is different, and I may be wrong on this. You guys correct me, different than the NFL rule. In the NFL, if you make an attempt to slide like that, you are marked down where you start sliding. And he makes an attempt to slide. You see the grass come out. I mean, so it was – and he was going to. He said it. I read something last night about the kid. I love the kid. He said that he was going to slide, and he saw the defenders there, and he ad-libbed. And you know, he's a good athlete and didn't do it.
And he just –
I mean, but both defenders stood – both defenders stopped. Both defenders stopped. Before they put in all this, you know, the rules, what, late – not late hit rules. Help me out here when they're
– Personal fouls.
Personal fouls and went over the top
roughing
there.
Roughing the passer.
Roughing the passer and targeting and on before – back in the day
– You would have –
They would have been coming after him.
Yeah. In the NFL, you're down, though. You have to be touched when you go down. In college – when you go down, you're down.
Right.
So once you slide, you're down.
If your arse is down, that's like having a knee down.
They're trying to legislate out the juking. I mean, this guy made a great move.
Yeah,
a great athletic
move. There's no question about it. A key of playing the game. It showed his athletic ability to pro scouts. It really did.
I loved it.
But that's what the thinking is behind it, that the defenders were at a disadvantage because he made an attempt to get down. So I don't know.
All right. You got a good feeling heading into Green Bay, or is this going to be a long, long evening?
No, you know what? It will not be easy. I like the plan that they had last week with David Montgomery, minus the turnovers.
Yeah.
Don't turn the football over and go in. And I'll tell you what, they ran the ball in some situations last week that kind of surprised me. I said, this is 100% pass for this offensive philosophy, and all of a sudden they're handing the ball off.
I hope no one steps on Aaron Rodgers' toe. That would be awful. If he got his toe stomped and their backup quarterback's in COVID protocol, that'd be awful.
I think their backup quarterback could beat the Bears.
The guy, who's the guy?
Bortles?
No, Bortles is – I think they have to sign Bortles.
Well,
I think they could sign
Bortles on Friday night and probably still beat
the Bears. Their third quarterback.
Yeah.
It's scout team quarterback.
Hey, but it is the Bears. It's a rivalry. Let's go up there, and there's a lot to play for. National TV, guys, right? We got the big stage.
Right. Oh, God.
That's the good news and the bad news.
Yeah. I'm looking for the good news. Come on. We're playing Christmas carols when I come in. So
I'm
looking under the tree. I'm looking under the tree.
Cole, I think is what we heard earlier. All righty, Dave. Thanks,
Dave.
That is Coach Wattstedt. You're listening to Mully and Haw on the Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
And Gordon's pass deflected away by Io. Io with the steal. Io on the runway. Dotsuba with the two-handed slam dunk. The Rook from Morgan Park in the University of Illinois. Bulls 53, Denver 49.
It was actually just pretty cool. Just seeing, we went over the last scouting. He just started seeing my name there. It was exciting. It brought back just, you know, memories from, you know, my first game starting in college. And it was just like a feeling that it's hard to explain. It was a feeling of joy, of excitement. And I just wanted to seize my opportunity.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Yeah, that was Io's first start in the NBA, and he did pretty well with it. He led them in assists, and he was in double figures in points, and you got to feel good about that from a second-round pick.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, he played 42 minutes, 11 points, and 8 assists in that game. But Zach LaVine, there's your star, 32 points, 8 assists. Vooch had 20 points and 10 rebounds, but he did not shoot particularly well. And Lonzo Ball with 20 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 blocks.
Yeah, you expect those guys to be, you know, at the front of the pack in terms of leading and scoring and the other things. It's still nice to get that kind of balance. But, boy, Io coming through with his first start, 42 minutes. That's unexpected. And then having 11 and 8 and then with 6 rebounds, yeah, he's seizing the opportunity. He's taking advantage of the chance. The Bulls are shorthanded. They were without 4 players last night. They come through anyway, beat a good Nuggets team. And now they have more victories than any team in the Eastern Conference, Mully. And we talked earlier in the show, ESPN has them 4th in their power rankings. Yep. When was the last time the Bulls were considered the 4th best team in the NBA at any point in any season?
You know, I'm guessing, they obviously were number one in the Jordan era. I'm guessing you'd have to go back that far. I don't think they've ever been
Tips,
fourth.
Would they say?
No way.
They led the, I mean, his that 2010, 2011 year when they had the most victories in the NBA that year, that 61.
Yeah, don't you think that was like them trying and other teams not trying kind of deal? I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's interesting. I think the Athletic, they had them like 6th, and I think that if you were putting together your power rankings, would you have them 4th? I would not. I think it doesn't matter what your record is or what it's. You have to look at the entirety, and let's be honest about it. Are the Bulls better than the Bucks? I don't think so. I don't think when all is said and done that that's going to be the case. They might have a better record, but are they the better team?
They're off to a better start.
They're off to a better start. Are they better than the Nets?
You can't say that because you have Giannis, you have the NBA championship that they're fresh off of, still celebrating. You have so many other things that they are, you know, postseason tested. And the Bulls are the, you know, one of the biggest surprises in the league, but it's only December. So it's premature to say that they're better than the Bucks, but these power rankings, you know, they're a weekly gauge of who's hot and who's not, and the Bulls are as hot as anybody right now.
Yeah, they've been good, but they won that game. I mean that you know they did a great job, and both teams were really beaten up, and the Nuggets are a really beaten up team. I'm just curious, do you expect Kyrie back at any point ever?
Oh gosh, I don't think so.
I'm just saying that's because their team.
Yeah,
that really hurts their team.
I would think that the way everything is trending with the COVID and the new variant and everything else, it's hard to envision. Or if I'm the Nets, let's look at it from a basketball perspective.
Yes,
if I'm the Nets, I don't count on him. I don't think I'm in a position where I can count on him. Not unless something changes dramatically, maybe it will, but I don't think you can anticipate that. So they're likely planning on life without Kyrie Irving this year, right?
I guess. I mean,
so it's an opportunity for everyone else in the East.
Obviously, it's the case, but yeah. And it is an opportunity, but that's still like a seriously good team. I would never want to have to play the Bulls come playoff time because they got closers, because they got the dual scoring threat, all that stuff. But, and it's a big but, if I'm picking the Eastern Conference right now, I don't think I'm picking the Bulls. I don't think I'm – I think they – you know, where do you have
you're only picking them? The Bulls at this point in the Eastern Conference if you're trying to get noticed, if you're trying to be trendy, if you're trying to get ahead – of the pack and, you know, stand out. It'd be purely optimism governing that decision or that prediction, because they have improved immensely.
Yeah.
But they're not the best team in the East.
No.
They're not.
But they've been playing as well as anybody in the East.
They have been.
And maybe if you keep playing that well, there's a belief that sets in and maybe, you know, you end up being better. I think they're better than – I think they're significantly better than anyone thought they were going to be.
Yeah, we're having a conversation about right. Where they are among the best teams in the East, not whether or not they're going to make the playoffs. That in Chicago is considered progress. If the question is which team in the Eastern Conference is playing closest to its potential, then I'd say the Bulls, 10 out of 10 times. But I don't think that overall I'm going to sit here on December 7th and predict them to be the best team in the East when the season's over. I just like the way that everything is trending and how this team is getting contributions from the role players and how improved everybody seems to be getting from a month ago. And you know, you look at Io and you start to project this is a second-round pick who plays with an edge, a chip on his shoulder from being passed. But he does something almost every game that they, you know, that you see that stands out. Last night he filled a lot of different categories. Against the Nets, it was, boy, what a block. You know, another guy, it's what a pass. Then he hit a big three. He does something every night to make his presence felt. And I don't know that anyone expected that to happen this early in his career.
I think Utah's won 4 in a row. Memphis has won 5 in a row. The Bulls are on a 4-game winning streak. And it's fun to imagine what that means for them. But, you know, again, I mean, Cleveland is 13-12, and they have stunned me. I cannot believe they're over 500, but they're still like the 13th team in the NBA Eastern Conference. So I, it's not like you can't beat that team, but I think the Heat is a problem on Saturday night if you are undermanned. I just think they got a little bit more.
Yeah, they have. That's one of those teams. It's among the top four. The Cavaliers have been a surprise. Look, without DeMar DeRozan, depending on how long he's out, you're going to have to play close to your potential every night. You don't have DeRozan. You don't have Caruso for a week. His hamstring's only going to leave him out a week. I don't think he's on the long-term 2-month hamstring recovery plan. You're playing without a couple other key guys off your bench. So the Bulls are going to be compromised in the short term. So they may not win some games you might have expected them to win, but you know, they're getting the most out of this talent. It's coaching. This is a testament to Billy Donovan getting the most out of every player on that roster.
I think everyone needs to take a bow. I think that it's player procurement. It is the players themselves playing at the level they're playing at, and obviously the coach is a huge part of that. We've given him the Coach of the Year award. I mean, we retired that about a week into the season, I think. So, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that that's not the case. 312-644-6767. Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
The BetQL network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
Jose is in Aurora. He's a big Bulls fan. Hey, Jose, how are you?
I'm doing all right, fellas. How are you all doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm listening to you guys real carefully. I think the only three teams in the Eastern Conference that are better than the Bulls are Milwaukee, like you're saying, and Miami Heat. But I also think Philadelphia. Those are are the only three teams that are better than them. But don't think that the general manager won't try to do something maybe later on in February or something before the trade deadline to have him at least on the top fourth seed. I had him in the sixth seed before the season, but now I got him in the top four, at least at the fourth seed, fellas.
I'm with you.
Tell me what you think.
I think top four is realistic. I think top four is a huge improvement. Top four makes sense, Mully. I think also...
Well, I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing. But I can think of they might be fifth. I can think that the Nets could be ahead of them, that the Bucks could be ahead of them, that Philly could be ahead of them, and Miami could be ahead of them.
They could be. I think
I'm not predicting that.
I'm going to predict Nets, Bucks, Bulls, and the Bulls maybe with the Heat. I think the Sixers are of those teams probably the team that I would think the Bulls could surpass. The Heat are going to be a problem. They have depth. They're tough. They're well coached. All those things are true. Jose referenced another question I think is going to be something we discuss as the season progresses. How active will they be before the trade deadline to address their lack of interior depth? And is Coby White going to be a player that is mentioned and dangled in trade talks?
I mean, it'd be great if he could play, and then you'd know. I'm just saying, like, we didn't, you know, and unfortunately he didn't get to start the season, and then he gets on the court and he has a couple games where you think, oh, he's going to come around here.
Sure.
And then he's knocked down by COVID. So it's just hard to project what he would bring back at this point in his season. And I hate trading guys at their lowest point.
Yeah, but I think that when you project coming back from COVID is different than you project coming back from a torn labrum or a sprained ankle or another injury. The expectation will be that he's going to be that instant offense guy off the bench. Once he starts getting hot, we've seen him get hot even in short spurts since he returned already this year. I wonder, I guess philosophically, do they consider him expendable and worth offering in a trade because you have to give up something to get something.
Right.
And would he have value around the league to get what you need if you're the Bulls?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know that he has value. That to be honest with you, I think it's more about him being a trade piece than it is them willing to trade him.
Yeah, I think what other teams think of him is going to factor that in. I also wonder if they can project the buyout market. There's always veterans in the buyout market that get – they become available before the playoffs, and the Bulls might be one of those teams certainly shopping more aggressively this year than last.
Maybe Thad Young gets bought out.
Well, it's, that crossed my mind when he spoke out.
I know.
Was that okay?
Is he going to
have to backtrack and backpedal and explain himself when he is, walking back into the Advocate Center saying hello again, everybody, I'm back.
All right. We're going to bring in Mike Florio. We'll talk to Mike. We've got so much to go over with him. We'll ask him what it was like watching the snow globe for him last night. And we'll have some fun with Mike Florio next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. FootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Hey, buddy! Hey, buddy! We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We
get
better!
NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us now on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing okay. You know, we're trying to figure out if the Bears can pull off a big upset in Green Bay when they couldn't seem to win in their version of the – well, I guess it was the sleet. I don't know what it was. But I thought the weather was supposed to help the Bears, and instead – Arizona is apparently unbeatable on the road. Can the Bears win in Green Bay? No one seems too excited here.
Well, and you're also getting the Packers coming off of their bye week. So unless they get like completely complacent and they've spent the last 2 weeks online shopping and, playing video games or whatever, I mean, if they're as focused as they need to be, and they surely will be, it's going to be very difficult to beat them. But at least no one will be watching, you know, on that Sunday night national stage on NBC. You know, so at least the embarrassment will be overlooked by many.
Nice sarcasm. Mike, last time the Bears were making changes in 2015 in the front office, they went to Ernie Accorsi, and he was on an advisory panel from the league. I think, if I'm correct, that panel's been disbanded since by the league. So teams like the Bears, if they're seeking advice, if they're seeking direction, where do they turn now? Or is it just they have to look within and find it themselves?
Well, you know, teams will hire Ernie Accorsi's and Charlie Casserly's and folks like that to provide them with advice. And this is one of the great disconnects of the NFL that I love. You've got these billion-dollar football organizations that are ultimately ruled by monarchies, the members of whom are largely clueless on what needs to be done. Because unless they are actually and actively working the job day in and day out like Jerry Jones does, and you can say what you will about Jerry Jones, but even though he wasn't qualified to be a general manager of an NFL team, he's been one for 32 years. At some point in the last 32 years, he became qualified for the job he wasn't qualified to do. Most owners don't know. Most owners aren't talking to the people in the NFL who know who the good candidates are. So when you hire one of these consultants, what you end up doing is hiring one of their friends or family members or cronies or someone who is indebted to them or wants them to be indebted to them and maybe will listen to them if they want to call up and play kingmaker and guide the team from afar. That's the problem. When you select one of these consultants, you are hiring one of their friends, one of their family members, and definitely not one of their enemies. So, but the problem is they just don't know what to do. And they don't ask their peers what to do because they don't want to expose their ignorance to the other owners, as if the other owners are going to help them anyway. Because at the end of the day, you know, somebody raised this with me as it relates to the Lions recently. Should the NFL force them to sell? And my response was the NFL likes having the owners of the good teams like having bad dysfunctional teams because it gives you a respite from time to time on the schedule. It gives you a win that you know is going to be easier. You don't want to have a hard fought game every single week. And if all the organizations operated like the best in the NFL, everybody would be 8-8 going into the last week of the season. So there is, at a selfish level, at a mercenary level, on the part of many owners, the idea that, hey, you know what? They don't know what they're doing, and we like it that way. So it's a challenge. It's difficult. And that's why the media has so much inadvertent influence over the process, because when the owners don't know what to do? They turn to the media, and they try to figure out that way, who are the people I should be looking at as I move forward?
When you look at the Ravens and that decision by John Harbaugh, that obviously had something to do with the fact that they ran out of members of the secondary. They had an opportunity, though, to kind of maybe win the division with one play, and they didn't get it done. But, you know, I thought that it was interesting that they had the jump off side. I think there was a lot of interesting decisions in that game, but I don't know that everybody is feeling great about it in Baltimore.
Well, one of the fascinating comments from after the game that caught my ear was Mike Tomlin saying that the Ravens, because they are so analytics driven, they are predictable that way. And I hadn't thought of analytics from the perspective of, if you are committed to always doing what the numbers tell you to do, then your opponent, if they understand what the numbers require, and everybody's got their analytics experts by now, they know what you're going to do. So as the Steelers were seeing the Ravens drive down the field, somebody on that coaching staff is thinking, all right, what are we going to do on the 2-point play if they score? Because they're going for two. We're going for two. This isn't a decision we're going to have to make in a matter of seconds. We know if they score a touchdown, they're going for two. And as soon as they score the touchdown, Harbaugh put the two fingers in the air. And even though, and you know, and this is another area where analytics, I think, can be flawed. I've seen people throw out these numbers that the percentages were roughly the same to win if you go for one or go for two. Well, those numbers come from, you know, a wide variety of circumstances and conditions. And, you know, at Heinz Field, between those two teams, what's your better odd and what's your better chance? And I do think going for two made more sense as the road team. If I'm the home team, probably going for one I'll play overtime in my own stadium. But anytime you're in a position like that where you can steal a win and go for two, if you have a play you like, that's the other side of it that never gets discussed. Look at what happened to the Vikings going for two with these stupid inside run plays that didn't work. You got to have, and coaches have explained this to me in the past, you got to have short yardage, goal line, two-point plays you like that you haven't already used, or you're not going to be successful. So that's a big part of the analysis as well. But I think not having the corners was, as Harbaugh said, a big part of why they went for two, and they almost got it.
Mike, a year ago, Joe Brady was the hotshot Panthers offensive coordinator interviewing for five NFL head coaching positions. On Sunday, he was fired. What happened, and is Matt Rhule next?
Well, just like the greater pizza industry has been looking for other places to stuff cheese for the past 20 years, I think the NFL teams have been looking for other places to dump bad news. Say farewell to Friday at 5 o'clock. They've found the perfect time to dump bad news where no one will notice. Wait until about 15 minutes into kickoff of a cluster of noon central games on a Sunday. Drop it then, and it hardly gets discussed. It hardly gets noticed. And I think it speaks to some level of dysfunction that maybe we didn't know previously existed in Carolina. And I think it all flows from ownership there. David Tepper is so determined to have a winner, so determined to have a great coach, a great quarterback, a great GM, that as soon as he decides, I don't have the right guy, he throws him overboard, like they did with Teddy Bridgewater after one season, like they did with Sam Darnold half of a season into his tenure as quarterback of the team, never mind the fact they owe him $18 million fully guaranteed next year because they picked up his fifth-year option right after they traded for him. And it could be that David Tepper's falling out of love with Matt Rhule, or at least coming to the conclusion he's not a great coach. So Joe Brady, I really do think, and I think there's a story obviously to be told here. My guess is that the Cam Newton-Joe Brady relationship didn't become what it needed to be. And there was something there that caused Matt Rhule to decide, if I want to save my own butt here in Carolina, I got to make a change because we're all in with Cam Newton for the rest of the season. And my offensive coordinator isn't all in with Cam Newton. So I've just got to move on. And otherwise he will be moving on. And some people that I've talked to have said, this is just the first step and that Tepper is potentially going to move on to a new coach, somebody who he thinks will come in and make the team what he desperately wants it to be.
This segment with Mike Florio brought to you by Advent. If you have snoring, sleep apnea, or nasal breathing problems, go to adventnose.com to schedule an appointment. Mike, when we think about the new rule where you can interview coaches, you know, all we hear in Chicago is this idea the Bears have never fired a coach in season, never mind that like 50-something of those seasons were George Halas, the owner of the team, coaching them. But they've never done it, and the family's careful about what they do. But now it seems like there's an incentive. You get a jump on the competition if you fire your coach. Has that rule change made it likely that more teams will fire a coach in season?
Well, you know, other than John Gruden getting run out of Las Vegas for reasons unrelated to wins and losses, we haven't had one this year.
Yeah.
So, and you know, one of the reasons we haven't had one, so many of the teams are alive. That's one of the benefits of parity. You don't have forks stuck into 25% of the league's teams at Thanksgiving. And you don't have teams, you know, how many teams are truly out of it right now? Truly done. Where no amount of getting hot late in the season is going to make a difference. Jacksonville, Houston, Detroit, and the Jets, right? Because even the Bears, if they could go to Lambeau Field.
They're out.
Hey, they're in. They could get there.
Until 34-10 becomes final on Sunday night, they still have a chance. Please watch anyway. You never know what's going to happen. Anything can happen on Sunday Night Football. But, I mean, good Lord, the Texans beat the Titans a couple of weeks ago. You never know what's going to happen. But until teams are done, there's really no reason to do it. And there's two different schools of thought. You can discreetly begin doing your homework for the coaching search to come and keep the guy you have and hope that he doesn't find out that you're talking to people about who the next coach is going to be. Or you can do what the Packers did with Mike McCarthy a few years ago and just fire him out of respect to him, because there was that big argument. Remember, it's disrespectful to not let Mike McCarthy finish the season. Well, what's disrespectful is to know you're firing him and start the process of finding his replacement and not care whether or not he catches wind of it. That's what's disrespectful. So, you know, they gave him a head start on figuring out his next move. They got a head start. And I'm just a firm believer. Once you know it's done, just end it. Yeah. It's not good for anybody if you continue it beyond that point where you have decided that it's over.
A lot of people hoping the Bears show respect for Matt Nagy.
You know what? Matt Nagy may come to that conclusion as well.
Well,
after
he's
another.
He's not quitting. He's got money next year.
He's not quitting, but I think the sooner he knows the clarity of his future, the better for everybody.
Oh, it's imagine what a relief it is when you know it's coming and you sense it's coming. What a relief it's got to be to have it finally happen.
Right.
Mike, great stuff as always. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
That is Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Always great stuff from Mike. We're going to talk to Dan and Layla next. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.